You could quote at least the first half of it anyway. But I want to preach this that the Lord's laid on our heart from this verse. Proverbs 29 and 18, the Word of God says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord. Without a vision, the people perish. We're in desperate need today of a vision of God. A vision from God, the vision of God. We're in desperate need of it. The church at Laodicea thought that they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing, but knew not that they were poor and blind and miserable and naked without the Lord. And God told them, Jesus said unto them, Revelation 3 and 18, anoint thine eyes with eyesight that thou mayest see. He said, you need some vision correction activity from the Lord. And today, certainly, we're in need of a vision correction procedure from God as well. That God would open our eyes and see. Without a vision, the people perish. I'm drawn to reference the passage from 1 Samuel 10 and 26, which says, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. And there went with him a band of men whose hearts God has touched. This is what we need again, friend. And you see, those who are touched by God will have a vision from God that sustains the people of God. I mean, he said, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God has touched. And friend, we need today a touch from God to our hearts to give us a vision. We need God to touch our hearts with a vision. I want to preach today, if the good Holy Ghost of God will enable us and help us, on this thought, a touch for a vision. A touch for a vision. Now, you'll never have the vision that God is to have you to, my friend, experience until you have the touch of God on your life. You'll have to experience the hand of the Lord working in your life, the Holy Spirit working down in your soul. My friend, in order to experience a vision that God is to have, would you to have today. And my friend, today you can have a vision, and you can have and when I say a vision, I'm not talking about peering into the future, but that may be a part of it as well, but more than anything, I'm talking about opening your eyes to the will of God in your life, and opening your heart to the Word of God in your life, and opening your life to the work of God, that you might do that which would be pleasing unto Him. I mean, can you clearly see that which God has in store for you? The things that God would have you to do. Can you clearly see that which, my friend, that the Lord would be pleased with in your life? Be not ignorant, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, the Scripture says. Jesus touched a blind man one day, and he said, do you see? He said, yes. He said, I see men and trees walking. And the Lord touched him again, and he saw clearly. Some of us, our eyes have been opened, but we see with distortions, and we see men and trees walking. We're not seeing clearly the things that God is to have us to. The children of Israel sent 12 spies into Canaan land. And Brother Andy, all 12 saw Canaan land. All 12 saw the armies. All 12 saw the graves. All 12 saw the goodly land. But 10 of them, all they could see was the giants. 10 of them, they said, there's giants in the land, and we cannot overcome them. And 2 of them said, let us go up at once and possess the mountain, for we're well able to overcome it. Said, these people will be bread for us. We'll eat them alive. God's promised it to us. I mean, what a different vision. All 12 saw the same thing. But my friend, the vision was different for Joshua and Caleb than it was the other 10. And I'm asking you, friend, do you see the world through an eye of doubt? Or do you see the world through an eye of faith? Do you really have the vision of God? Are your eyes open to the truth? Are your eyes open to the way, the will, the work, and the Word of God? That God might receive honor and glory out of your life. And surely today we need for the knowing our eyes with our Savior, that we might see. And we need God to touch us, that we might have a vision. We need the power of God on our lives, that we might visualize the need of
of God in this untoward and wicked generation and have a burn to share Jesus with a lost and dying world that's headed straight for hell. If God's people don't spread the message that the Lord may intervene in their lives and change them eternally. We need a touch that we might have a vision. Amen. We need God to touch our hearts and give us a vision. I want to say we need a touch from God that we might have a vision for souls. Amen. John chapter 4 and verse 35, Jesus said, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes." In other words, take your eyelids and quit shutting them asleep. Open your eyes up and look out what's under in front of you. Get your vision straightened out. I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Matthew 9:37-38, Jesus said, then He said unto His disciples, "The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that He'll send forth laborers into His harvest." I pray today that somehow or another God could help you see a world full of souls that need to be saved, and help you see, my friend, that the laborers are few. And you pray to God and send forth laborers to get it in your life into the harvest. That the my friend's souls might be saved for the honor and glory of God. Amen. Well, we must visualize the harvest. We need to see the field across the street in our neighbor's houses. Some of you need to see the field across the hallway into your children's bedrooms and understand what a great mission field your own home is, and to get to work that the harvest may be brought into the God's house. Amen. Thank God. Your neighbors and your friends and those you work with and all those around you, God help us to visualize the harvest across the street, to visualize the harvest across the state. Right here in the United States of America, there are many that have not heard a clear presentation of the gospel, and some that have turned it away. But Lord only knows if the next time it's preached unto them or shared with them will be the very time that they'll be saved by the grace of God. Sister Tasha read this morning about D.L. Moody again and again, had been in the house of God as a lost young man, and to them someone took the time one more time to share with him the gospel, and that's when he was redeemed. I'll tell you, friend, what if the last message you heard was the message 1 week before you ever got saved? What if somebody had given up on you? What if you'd never heard that last gospel message, that last kind word, that last handshake and pat on the back? What if folks had said that C.W. Brock will never get in and had never made that last trip by and that last phone call? I tell you, we all could be in hell were it not for somebody with a vision had cared enough to come by our way. Woo! And tearfully and prayerfully had tell us about Jesus. Might have been the old man of God, might have been mom and dad, might have been a neighbor or co-worker, that somebody told us about Him. And we need a burn and a vision to tell others, thank God, about the message that transformed our lives for His glory. A vision, my friend, of the harvest across the street, across the state, and across the seas. Amen. We need a vision of the harvest in foreign lands. A vision of the harvest in places, my friend, where a modern man has not gone into with computers. And my friend, with the finest automobiles and the nicest homes. And my friend, their souls are dying daily and us going to a devil's hell. God, give us a vision for souls. Listen, somebody said, "I can't go to Africa. I probably will never go to Africa either. I don't know if the Lord will ever send me to Africa. But I can assist others to go." And if we're going to have mission work, we will need, my friend, manpower. Somebody's got to go. We'll need money power. Somebody's got to give. And we'll need mighty power. Somebody's got to get a hold of God. I may never go, but I can give. I may never go, but I can get a hold of God. And if today you get a vision for souls, you give and you get a hold of God and you beg God's power down on sinners that need to be saved. This morning, Brother Eddie's in the prisons of preaching, and to my friend somewhere or another, hey, he went Friday night and preached and made it home early in the early morning hours on Saturday morning and got up and met us at 7 o'clock over at my granddaddy's house to head to the church meeting out in Boaz on Saturday morning. Stayed all day yesterday. Come back so worn out, and then this morning head out real early again. Going down to South Alabama to preach in the prisons again to see people saved. They had 14 that got saved on Friday night. God be the glory if we could get a vision in the souls. Oh, God help us that we might anoint our eyes with our saved. That God would touch us with a vision of people that need to be saved. A vision for souls. We need God to touch our hearts with a vision for souls. We need a compassionate vision for them. Matthew 9 and 36, Jesus said when He saw the multitudes, His mood with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Does it break your heart to understand the sin that's ravaged the lives of people in our nation today? Does it break your heart to understand the suffering that children is experiencing today because of sin? And to know that Jesus could do something about it, and to know that their lives could be different if folks would but hear the message of the gospel and be saved, and it's left up to you and to me to get that gospel to them. A compassionate vision. I'll tell you, we need a compelling vision, Brother John. We need a vision that compels us to compel others to come, that the house of God might be filled. Luke 14 and 23, the Master said, go in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. We need a compelling vision, friend. A compelling vision. We need a conquering vision. Some doubt peddler will certainly say we can't win souls today without compromising the worldly standards. That if you're going to win souls, you're going to have to bring in everything of the world, or else you won't ever get no young people. But I'll say to that doubt peddling hypocrite, and my friend, that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen. We need a conquering vision. One that says we can and will win souls with a burn for God, without compromising the standards, that shine the truth of God's gospel, watching the convicting power of the Holy Ghost arrest the lives of sinners, and under not saying that arrest of the Spirit of God, they wave the white flag of surrender and say, I've had enough. I believe, I trust God. And then their lives will be changed for time and eternity. Woo! Hallelujah. Greater is He, 1 John 4 and 4 said, greater is He that sent me than he that sent the world. I tell you, friend, I don't need the world's tools and devices to win sinners. We need a zeal for sinners, a vision for souls. I'm telling you, my friend, a burning desire in our heart to share the gospel, the power of the Holy Ghost on our lives, and God can give the increase. Amen. Lord, touch us with a vision for souls. Touch us with a vision for success. The vision for success. This kind of preaching I don't do an awful lot, but I sure am enjoying doing it this morning. Touch us with a vision for success. It may seem at times that we failed in our soul winning campaigns. I mean, you invite 14 million people to come to church and one of them might show up. That's the way it seems a lot of times. They all tell you they're going to be there and don't want to come. But don't let that bother you too much. The reason why they tell you lies is because they're sinners, and that's what sinners do, is they lie to you. And they tell fibs and they commit sins because that's their nature. And so was it our nature before we got saved. And this flesh of ours has still got that nature. That's right. The Spirit work against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. And Paul said, when I find myself doing what I'm doing, I look around and it ain't what I want to do, but it's what I didn't want to do because the flesh, I'm warring against it. And I have to mortify the flesh with its affections and lusts. And just think them sinners don't have the Spirit of God in them to mortify the flesh. And times when they tell you I'm coming, they really do mean they're coming. But somewhere or another, the devil sidetracks them. And you think you failed. You think you're church building campaign and enterprise has been a failure because of seeming lack of results at times. But we've got to remember, Brother John, that God sponsors no failures. God never puts a failure in business. God never puts a failure to work. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you this. No man whose heart God has touched is a failure. Amen. No man who has a touch of God on his heart is a failure. The gospel that he says may never be heeded, but it'll not make him a failure. Isaiah preached and nobody got saved. And the more he preached, the worse it got. But he was a grand success because he had a vision and he was obedient to his vision. And he heeded the call of God. And if you'll be obedient to the touch of God, that's in your life, you cannot fail.
Give us a vision for success. Sometimes we see wickedness in high places and we believe that we've lost. But brethren, we can't quit just before the ultimate victory. Amen? If you'll study most of the major wars of the world, and you'll study the way the wars went, if you'll watch them wars all the way up until some specific point in time, it looks like one side's a winning. And then there'll come a turning point. The Battle of the Bulge. Gettysburg. There'll come a turning point somewhere or another in the battle and in the war. And if you quit before the turning point, you're sure to lose. But if you'll fight right on through, victory indeed is ours. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, don't quit the battle today, because tomorrow you just might win the war. The road may be rocky that we walk on today, but around the next curve it might turn to gold. I'm saying, friend, you may quit one day too soon, one hour too soon, one minute too soon. I tell you, better just fight on till Jesus comes. And then we'll be gathered home. And He can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Woo! A crown of victory will be ours. And it will be worth every mile of the tree. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us touch our hearts with a vision of success. Do you have a vision of Truth FCM Church being the largest church in town? Do you have a vision of Truth FCM Church being the most influential church in town? Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. The way we preach, the things we preach on, the standards we live by, we don't have a softball team and a basketball team. They ain't having one, bless God Almighty. We ain't got all them things. We haven't built us a gym. We don't have the young ones in a Bible school and the Sunday schools running about half-dressed. There ain't no way we'll be the largest and most influential church in town. Why, you of little faith, you doubt them and feller. If you just had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you could say in the honor mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and it'd have to be done. Amen. Quit thinking little and open your eyes up and realize we're serving a God that's bigger than Bremen, Georgia, bigger than my friend, your critics and your opposition, and our enemies and our giants and our mountains, and open our eyes to a vision of success and the things of God, and let God move in a way that He's never moved in your life before. Amen. Amen. Now listen, I don't measure success according to the numbers, but I have a vision for success in numbers too. Amen. That's right. I'm not just interested in numbers and noses, but I'm thankful for everybody that comes into the house of God to hear the gospel preached. And I believe if God's people get the vision we need, that we'd have a hard time finding a place to put them all. If we'd really get the vision we need, there'd be a lot of them come and leave. That'd still happen. But there'd be some of them come, get saved, and they'd stay. Old time religion ain't for everybody, but it's still for somebody, and it's for me. Amen? That's right. And they still people today that want something real, and you can share it with them if you'll get a vision for them. Friend, I can envision success. And furthermore, I can envision us meeting this goal without compromise and without giving in. It'll take work, but it can be done if we remain in unity. We need God to touch us with a vision of success and bringing in the people. It must be acted on with enthusiastic, energetic efforts. Amen. If you're going to have this vision carried out, it'll have to be acted on with enthusiasm.
enthusiastic, energetic effort. Amen. I mean, sometimes I'll tell you, we got a pretty good old church down there, and you know, we got a preacher that pretty good old job sometimes, and you know, I tell you,
most of the churches today just in a mess, and ours have probably got its problems, but I tell you, it's better than some of the rest of them is. Oh, sound like to me, all the rest of them's in a mess, and yours is in a pretty good mess, and you really don't like it either, but it sure beats the alternative the way you talk. Oh, God help us to get an enthusiastic and energetic effort. I'm more excited about God, more excited about church, more excited about the Bible today than I've ever been in my life. I still get a thrill when they sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. It still burns a fire in my heart when the Holy Ghost goes to curtain, cartwheels down in my soul. I tell you, thank God. I'm excited to be a part of a church with an energetic and enthusiastic effort. I see people saved by the grace of God. Amen.
Oh boy, went to church with his grandma and grandpa. Rather proper individuals. And they went to the local First Self-Righteous Church where people came to soothe their consciences before they went to the golf course. They went to the early service to make sure it didn't get in the way of the golf game and the fishing expeditions. I told myself I wasn't going to preach on nothing this morning. Got down there and all of them went through their ceremony and their form and fashion, and that of this 6-foot icicle sitting behind the pulpit and read his notebook sermonette. And when they got done, everybody shook hands with one another as quickly as possible. I flooded the door, most excitement you've seen about that crowd since they got there. And they took off out the door and ran onto the house as quickly as possible. And the little boy went home with them. He went to his grandpa and grandma's farm with them where they lived, and went out to the barn, and there's an old gray mule sitting there chewing, my friend, and a gnawing on some hay, and his old long face hanging down, and my friend, he stick his tongue out once in a while, and that little boy said, "What's the matter with you, Mr. Mule?" Said, "You a Christian too?" Amen. I tell you, that's where a lot of our Christian folks are. They look like they lost their best friend. Their mother-in-law's been moving in with them, and they've been baptized in prune juice. Amen. Thank God. I'll tell you, God help us to have a vision. I thank God for success. Put a smile on our face. And with an enthusiastic and energetic and the mouth and effort, go out and win souls. That there might be success in membership.
Bringing in the people. Vision of success. God touches with a vision of success and bringing in the people. Touches with a vision of success in building the building. In order for the building of God to be for the glory of God, I tell you, it ought to be the most beautiful place we can make it. Man, I mean, this ought to be the most beautiful place we can make it. Some of you look around and say, "Man, I can think of a lot of things we could do. I can think of a lot of things we could do too. I'm thinking of a lot more we already done." That's right. I mean, we got this place after it had been a men's clothing store, a pool hall and honky-tonk, and then a screen printing out theater. The walls were covered with dried-up liquor and, my friend, paint from the screen print outfit and pieces of belts and buckles and all that had still been left from all of that mess. We towed it out to bars and towed it out to bottles of beer and so forth out of this place. And, my friend, stripped everything down with the concrete floor and the block walls and replaced everything in here, put on it a roof and a steeple that God provided the money for in less than 5 minutes' time by His providential grace and glory, and try to make this a place that the town could look to and say, "That's not a pool hall anymore, that's a church where God's Spirit's real." I tell you, we ought to take pride in this place. We ought to take pride in the grounds. We ought to treat it like it is the house of God, with the respect that's necessary. We ought to come adorned in fashion that's fit for the house of God, and worship in the beauty of holiness, and serve God in a way that we seem fit to be in the house of God.
To do so, my friend, we'll have to be dedicated to it, determined to do it, and have a great desire, a vision for the building of God. A vision for success in bringing the people. A vision for success in building. A vision for success in binding. God, touch us with a vision.
Binding. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 16 and 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall also be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Amen. You see, that which He's saying, that which is forbidden on earth will also be forbidden in heaven. That which is loosed on earth or given leeway on earth will also be given that leeway or liberty in heaven. What in the world does that mean? That means when we pray in faith in the perfect will of God and we ask God to make restrictions or to change things on earth, it's as good as done in the glory world. I ain't talking about success in your prayer life. Praying and God moving. Asking and God answering. Knocking and God opening. Seeking and God letting you find. I'm telling you, friend, hallelujah to His blessed name. God still hears and answers prayers. We're running around acting like there ain't nothing you can do about anything and finds you a place and not the floor at the money you on your knees and seek the face of God till God hears and answers from the glory worlds. And He sends down a miracle your way. And God will hear and answer prayers. Amen. For this we'll have to get serious, Brother John. We'll have to get in earnest. I'm going to tell this. I've told it before. I'm going to tell it again. Boy wanted a bicycle for Christmas. And his mama's poor and didn't have no money to buy him a bicycle. He kept saying he wanted a bicycle. He'd prayed for a bicycle and all this. Nothing ever happened. Mama trying to raise him by herself. Didn't have money for no bicycle. Boy said, "Son, you just have to pray." He said, "I done been praying, Mama." She said, "Well, son, you're going to have to get in earnest with the Lord." He said, "What does that mean?" He said, that means get serious. That means do something to get God's attention is what you got to do. That little boy, his mom was Catholic. You know, they keep in little statuettes around to worship because they're idolaters. And had a little statue of Mary sitting about, Brother Andy. And he picked up that statue of Mary and he took off to his room. He opened the door of his closet, pulled up the pillow on the floor of it, threw that statue up under it, put a pillar on top of it, shut the door and got out beside of it and knelt down. "Jesus! If you ever want to see your mama again, you might ought to come up with a bicycle." Amen. Well, somebody said that's crazy and foolish, and I'll tell you it's a little bit silly, but I will say to you, if we'll get in earnest and get serious with God and get to a place where we'll agonize with God and make an effort to get God's attention, God will hear and answer prayers. Call on me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty works which thou knowest not. Hallelujah to His name. God does hear and answer prayers, and if we'll get in earnest, Brother Tony, there ain't no telling what God would do. You got to get serious. Amen. We got to learn how to pray with supplication. I mean seriousness. Praying from the depths of your heart. Not just calling off words. Praying from the depths of your heart. Last time you come before God desperate. Repeating your prayer, not having your regular prayer times, that's all good. Not praying over your meals. But I mean desperate. Oh God, if you don't do something, they ain't nobody can help. I've been there, man. I was there Friday night and Saturday morning. I said, "God, if you don't do something, ain't nobody can do nothing." But I thank God, God hears in prayers of desperation. He hears those kind of prayers. When's the last time you got desperate for somebody in your family that's on their way to hell? For your children that need to be saved? For your church that needs the power of God? For your pastor that needs the wisdom of the Lord? When's the last time that you got desperate and got in earnest and got serious? Amen. And made supplication. I'll tell you, if we're going to have a vision of success in binding, friend, we're going to have to get secret. I mean, it ain't going to be your public prayers that makes the impact. It's going to be them private prayers. But I'm glad he that prays in secret, God rewards him openly. Amen. Hallelujah. All by ourselves, just you and God. Hallelujah. A vision of success. God touched us with a vision of a surge in church growth. Growth in membership, growth in ministries. I thank God for the work that Brother Eddie's doing in the prisons. thank God for the work these men do on the radio after in the Sunday afternoons, and to the good nursing home ministry, the visitation, the brotherhood program, the food ministry, all that's done. I'm glad we haven't got a bunch of Weight Watchers and the jazzercise groups and trying to call that ministries in this church. But ministry's about trying to win souls and change people's lives. And I'm glad we got a group of people that's genuinely interested in truly ministering the things of God. Growth in ministries. And as good as these things are, I don't know that we need more ministries. May have more we can handle now. But we need growth in what we have in these ministries, that we might reach more souls for God. We need growth in membership, growth in ministries. We need growth in money. Most preachers are too yellow to preach this, but it's still true. We got to be mindful of it. That radio time costs money. Them boys driving back and forth to the prisons in South Alabama, Atmore and Red Eagle and all these other places, that doesn't come free. It takes money. I mean, you want to be able to get to the gospel to people, print out the Bibles, pay for the gas, pay for the vans to get them boys down there to preach. I mean, you want to be able to do that kind of stuff? You want to keep them kids in Haiti with a book on their table so they can read the Word of God, and just keep them kids in the orphanage up that we support? It takes money. I mean, somebody got to pay the bills. And God ought to give us a burden for it. We ought to be more interested in the things of God and the needs of the house of God. God. Most of us don't pay a third as much in tithes as what we pay on a house payment, a car payment, and that's a crying shame and disgrace. Very few of us give as much in missions in a month as what we give to GMAC for one automobile. I tell you, it's a crying shame, and I pray God would give us a vision for souls. It's getting quiet now that I'm preaching on your pocketbook. One fellow said, "I'll get baptized. Hey, man, go under and hold this straight up. Amen." Oh, God, yeah. Had a fellow tell me one time he was going to hold on to his pocketbook while he held on to his heart. And I told him if he'd ever get saved, he'd got to get his pocketbook and his heart both. Hey, somebody said, "Preacher, we'll never see the things you visualize coming true." Well, it's better to shoot at something and miss it than it is to shoot at nothing and hit it right in the bullseye. Amen? I mean, get you a vision, and my friend, go to work for God and beg for the touch of God to have the vision and to carry it out. God give us a vision of sinners in unevangelized countries. 1 billion souls in China. 750 million in India. Countless millions in Haiti, Honduras, and several million right here in the United States of America. Need a tearful vision. When's the last time you shed tears over somebody you don't even know that needs to be saved? He that goeth forth bringing precious seed shall doubtless come again, bringing sheaves with him. Sowing tears shall reap his joy. One fellow said, "It's this simple. If you weep, you'll reap, and if you don't, you won't." How many tears you shed? It just becomes so hard-hearted and dried in our day and age, it ain't no wonder we hadn't got a vision. Eyes need washing out with tears. Give us a zeal to win souls again. We need a tender vision. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "All you that are heavy and laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest." I mean, come unto me and I'll give you rest. We need a tender vision, Lord, Son of Christ. We need a terrifying vision. Isaiah 5:14 said, "Hail hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure." I tell you, there is an eternal holocaust of souls that's taking place. And we need to get a vision, my friend, of these sinners, my friend, and have a burden to strengthen our support to missions, to reach them, to change our habits, to reach them, to change lives for the honor and glory of God. A holocaust of souls are taking place that would shame, and my friend, dwarf that of anything Hitler ever did to the Jews. The mouth of hell. Oh God, help us to have a vision. A vision of the saint and the church's potential. God's touch on our lives to have a vision of the saint and the church's potential. You realize most of you are living about half where you could be living? So far beneath your privileges? So far out of where it could be that you could dwell if you just get the vision of God in your life? You understand the things you're missing out on that you could be blessed with if you just let God work in you like He wants to work in you and can work in you? The potential of your life that's being wasted. I mean, the joy that's being squandered, the peace that's being bypassed, the love that's being given up because you've not retained your potential in Christ Jesus. You see, being saved is a lot more than just not going to hell. I mean, there are many other things comes with being saved, and many of you are missing out on the benefits. But I say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Oh, God, give us a vision for the saints and the church's potential. We got a good church. God's blessed us with a good church. But if you think this thing has peaked, and that we've reached our potential, then you're sadly mistaken, friend. God has higher ground for us. Amen. The world has yet to see what God can do with one man whose heart's totally surrendered unto Him. Will you be that one man? Will this be that one church? Will Bremen be that one town? Oh, God, give us a vision. That's our hearts with a vision, my friend. A cattleman's vision. Acres of untouched pasture land. Beautiful green grass and rolling hills. And the cattleman knows just what to do and rises to the challenge. Farmer has a vision. Rich, black, fertile soil. A good equipment to work it with and to turn it with. And he'll break it up and sow it and cultivate it. And then reap the harvest. But I'll tell you, a Christian ought to have a vision of souls saved, sanctified, separated, Spirit-filled, saturated with the Scriptures, and satisfied with their Savior. Oh, hallelujah. We know what to do. The potential is real. We just need a touch of God for a vision that we might have the vision and carry it out, friend.
Amen.
Close with this. I'm just about done. It reminds me of Joseph and his dreams. Dreamed about the stars and the moon and all about down to him. Joseph dreamed about stalks of corn that he's cutting down in the field, his brother's stalks of corn, his mom and dad's all bowed down to his stalk of corn. Others hated him for his dreams, sold him into slavery. While in slavery, he was thrown in prison for a crime he did not commit. Sounds a lot like the Lord, and I can't preach all the types and shadows of the Lord Jesus that's in the life of Joseph. While he's in prison, he runs into a butler and a baker, and you know what they said to him, Brother John? Said, we've dreamed a dream, and we don't know the interpretation thereof. Now, if I'd have been Joseph, I'd have told them, I'd have thought to myself, listen, hey, I had a dream one time too. And because I had a dream, I got sold into slavery. Because I had a dream, I hadn't seen my family in 15 years. Because I had a dream, and my situation is such that now I'm in prison, and I'm a nobody, nowhere, with nothing or going nowhere. And I had to look back at them, and I'd say, boys, talk to somebody else about your dreams. I don't know nothing about no dreams. I ain't never had no dreams at all. Every time I did have a dream, all it's done is got me in trouble. I don't dare to dream anymore. Just forget it, fellows. I don't want to dream. I don't want to know nothing about dreams. I don't want to talk about dreams, and I don't want to have dreams. I'm ready to give up on dreaming. Oh, but Joseph was not that way. And he interpreted the dreams. And even still, he was forgotten until Pharaoh dreamed. But when Pharaoh dreamed, Joseph could have well said, hey, Pharaoh, cut my head off if I interpret the dream wrong. I better tell him I don't know nothing about dreaming. I don't dare to dream anymore. I've forgotten about dreaming. All dreaming's ever done has got me in trouble. But he dared to continue to dream. He interpreted the dream of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh promoted him to the vice president of Egypt, and his family was saved, and Egypt was saved, and Israel was saved, and it was all because Joseph dared to dream. I'm asking you today, do you dare to dream? Do you dare to have a vision? Do you long for a touch from God, for a vision from God, for a help from God to take out and set out on your vision, friend? Have a vision. If you have a dream, you'll be faced with disappointments. Those who are dared to dream and are touched with a vision, they can experience great reward. Said that church is a place where people should come to dream and never fall asleep. Amen. Church is a place where one should come to dream and never fall asleep. How about it today? Do you have a vision? If you'll be touched with a vision, you may watch your life go right backwards to the way you envisioned it. Just because you're touched with a vision doesn't mean everything in your life is going to go just exactly as you planned. Joseph never planned to be in Egypt. A vision, your life may go right backwards to the way that you envisioned it. Dare to dream, and you dare to have a vision and to act on it. You may not be appreciated by the persons that you would like to share the joys of your dreams with. Joseph tried to share those dreams with his brothers, but they hated him because of it. Father rebuked him because of it. Dare to dream, you may not find the road to your vision is an easy one at all. More obstacles than you could have ever imagined. You may even find yourself wondering if your visions or dreams will come true or not, or wondering if it was even worthwhile to have ever dreamed a dream. Just forget it all and go back to life before you dared to dream. But you can't. You could not go back to life before the dreams. If you never are touched with a vision, if you never dare to dream, you'll never get the opportunity to see the dreams come true or to fulfill the vision. You have to measure the risk and the reward today and to decide for yourself whether or not it's worthwhile. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You dare to dream and envision a family that's converted and saved and children that grow up to the honor and glory of God and a home that has a little heaven in it every day in this life. Do you dare to dream about a mom and a dad, a son and a daughter and a friend and a neighbor that today is lost and far from God, sitting by your side at the house of God with the power of God in their lives and the Holy Spirit real in their hearts? If you dare to dream it, if you'll dare to envision that, and my friend, God can touch you and your vision can come to pass.
Yes.
Do you dare to dream about souls that will hear the gospel and be converted and grow the church and Sunday school and go to work here at Truth FCN? I mean, friend, do you dare to dream about a knowledge of God's Word and God's Spirit and God's worship and God's will and God's work? Do you dare to dream about a land where there's no more heartache? Somebody said, "You're dreaming, preacher." Oh, let me dream on about a land where there's no more heartaches, no more sorrows, no more death, and no more crying, no more sickness. No more sin, no more Satan, no more tragedy, no more pain, no more strife, no more war, no more turmoil of life. Do you dare to dream of that? One day your dream can come true. You dare to dream and pay the price for your dreams. Well, you'll find out that even when life goes wrong, you find yourself in Egypt. The Lord will be there with you, working out all of your life's problems. And to make it better than you ever dreamed it could be. However big of dreams and ambitions and goals you've got in God, if they're in the will of God, I assure you they'll be bigger and better than you ever thought they would be. Do you dare to dream? I'm going to quit. You'll stand. You need to come. God, touch our hearts. Vision from the Lord. And conduct on us a vision correction procedure. Use our eyes to the will of God. Would you come do business with the Lord? Aim for nothing and you're surely going to reach it. But shoot for the stars and you might lasso the moon. Hallelujah. Come on, do business with God. One day all that know the Lord will go to a land that goes beyond our fondest hopes and wildest dreams. And heaven will far exceed our expectations. Have you been touched with a vision for your life that you'd like to talk to God about? Would you like to come and address Him about that? In this altar and do business with the Lord. Keep us singing, others need to come. Well, would you open your eyes to the field across the street? My friend, across the state, across the seas, and souls are on their way to hell. My friend, at a breakneck speed, and need to be saved by the grace of God. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work. Well, God help us. Think we're rich and increase the good, and know not that we're poor and blind and miserable and naked. We need Him to anoint our eyes with our sins that we might see. Well, God have your way. Lord, touch people in this place. We'll work till Jesus comes. The world has yet to see what God can do with one man whose heart is totally surrendered to Him. Will you be that one man? Will you be that one woman? Will this be that one church? Will this be that one town where God moves in just that fashion? Amen. I want to sing another verse. Others really need to come. Some of you have not obeyed the Lord. Oh, God, help us. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You live in your life in obedience to the vision of God, then you'd be happy. If you don't, you'll perish. Say this, I'm so glad that somebody somewhere and for my soul. Going to hell and didn't even know how to get out of it. Somebody had a vision for my soul. There'll be prayers that was prayed for me that I'll never know about. But God bottled up every tear. Hallelujah. His name. Hope today that somehow or another I'd put a burden on your heart. To preach to you just as honestly as what I can. The Lord's laid on my heart. Help us to get serious. Honey and I kneel down and pray every night. Times it's just words. I pray, God, help us to get serious about the Lord saving our young'uns. Help us. Them pile of stones, men over there behind my house. Prayers be prayed seriously about that pile of stones. Needs that they shared that night. God, help us. At the harvest, would you look up and look on the fields? Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers.